Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. You're in touch with Wiggins World of Wellness, and this is radio the way it should be heard. This is indeed going to be the world's greatest radio because this is going to be the world's greatest podcast. Why do I say that? Because it's my own personal opinion. But it may be yours as well once you start to check out the title. Today's title is, why is our culture so sick, and what can we do to do about it? What can we do anything to help ourselves? And absolutely yes is the answer. And what are we going to do about it? So we're going to break this down today. We're going to hopefully wind this all up in a 1 hour part, because I could really not draw it out so much as opposed to deeper explain it, or as they say, go down the rabbit hole a little bit deeper so the understanding can be more appreciated at where we currently are in the world and how we are, quote, killing ourselves, and more capable of coming up with answers, ideas, remedies of what to do about it, and not just be a victim. Oh, it's me against the man or the them or the government or whoever the boogie person, boogeyman is. So why is our culture so sick? I've got plenty of my own personal ideas, but I think we can come to a general understanding is, we are deeply miseducated. We are trusting in things that really haven't served us well or served us at all. And we are relying upon things outside of ourselves instead of relying upon our own inner verse, our own inner wisdom. We don't even have a communication. We're disconnected. So that's going to be part of the whole answer is, how far disconnected are we? That's thus how sick are we? And how far and where's the journey and how are we going to get to being one whole, connected with ourselves, with our community, which we are our own community, but a community with our other peers, family members. So I'm going to go dive down deepest first. I think that one of the reasons we do not pursue health that passionately, that fervently, is we don't feel we're worth it. Yep, I'm going to step on the big toe. We have self-esteem issues. We think it's going to be too expensive instead of investing in ourselves. It's not going to be productive because, you know, John went to work out at the gym yesterday and he hurt himself. So they're not seeing the benefits of the investment in your own life. So I ran across this. I was really going through a lot of notes this past week, really trying to come up with and come up with an idea that is going to be digestible and something we can do with, something we can be active, we can start to feel and find benefit with. So this poem comes from Marianne Williamson, and it's from her book, Return to Love, and it was written 1992, quite a while ago. And here is her poem. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. Ooh. It is not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That's a beautiful poem. Many parts of it just kind of hit me and stabbed me or knocked me in the jaw. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. Wow. For me, that's holding myself back. I do that. Hey, I got a habit of it. I hold myself back all the time. Do you? Where do you find in life that you do, that you don't feel that others will understand you or they couldn't possibly have the same perspective that you do? All right. So we're exploring our deepest fears to even treating ourselves with love, even respecting ourselves, even investing in our own health, our own lives. So I think that's the biggest one. It's not, you know, who shot Johnny over there and the GMOs in the air and the chemicals and, the, you know, all the toxins that we have to deal with, all the challenges that we have to deal with today. The greatest challenge lies within our ears. You know, how are you treating you? When you look yourself in the mirror in the morning, first thing in the morning, is it friendly? Or are you going to have a tough day at it already? It's like, oh, man, you... Because, you know, the worst war is the one within, the one that you have with yourself. So our own culture supports this thought process. Our own culture is kind of steeped in this thought process. So that's kind of like number one. Where are my notes here? How did we get here? Oh, by the way, I wanted to share this with you. The knowledge you are about to hear has been obtained through my own living, my own life experiences, and my own perspective of life. I've been working towards, targeting towards living an optimal life, optimal health, optimal function for well over 30 years. And out of that, being a massage therapist, doing alphabiotics, the balancing of the nervous system, balancing of the brain hemisphere, I have obtained my own certain perspective of what wellness is. So it's not the sick care model, it's the wellness model. And there's even different terms for different things, because when we've grown up in a miseducation, and that's calling it real politely, I call it dead education. We've grown up in a culture, in an atmosphere that hasn't taught us who we truly are, hasn't taught us our magnificence, hadn't taught us basically how to breathe. Do you know that breathing in a controlled manner can control your emotions? That you can breathe in such a way that you can actually lower your blood pressure, that you can breathe in such a way that you can raise your pH. And when you raise your pH, your muscles soften up, you relax, you're calm. Your mind goes into an alpha state, which is much more relaxed and not hyper and not, you know, proactive and defensive or freeze, flight, or fight state. Just by breathing at certain patterns, it's amazing. But yet, we utilize breathing to the nth degree. Like if we have 100 points of the capacity to breathe, we're maybe at 27, 20 for some of us. And the people that are exercising, maybe doing yoga, they're maybe experiencing 50%, 55, no more than 60% of their full capacity because they do not have the full knowledge of spinal and rib decompression. When that occurs, your ability to breathe in is so much more maximized because you can create room for your lungs to open. I'm skipping topics here. Here we go. Let's stay on this. All right. So why is our culture so sick? I was at a meeting, a group of caregivers. It was a weekend treat, or I said pampering for caregivers. And I was talking in front of a group of at least 100 people. And these were people that were various vendors and, you know, different walks from society kind of thing. And through having a dialogue with the audience, I was asking, hey, how many people in the room have a gym membership? 6 or 7 hands raised up. Okay, how many people go to yoga or do some kind of, you know, movement like that? And then 5 to 6 hands went up. I'm like, okay. Sleep. We all know how important it is. How many people in the room get a full night's sleep, you know, go to bed, sleep all the way through, wake up in the morning? I didn't even say feel refreshed. How many people get that? And my jaw did not drop to the ground, but inside my head, it did, because not one person, 0 people in the room, about 100 people, did not get a full night's sleep. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Because I thought, you know, the study said, the book said 50, 55%, maybe 60. But at least in the room I was in there at that time, it was 100% nobody was getting good sleep. So what was amazing to me, I shared the story to many people. And they're all like, well, I don't get good sleep. And I don't know anyone who does. I'm like, no way. Because I get fantastic sleep. As a matter of fact, I'm getting better sleep now than ever before. So these tips will come into the second part of the equation of what we can do to, you know, how we can heal ourselves. So the sleep thing is a huge, huge problem. And actually, I dove into it a little bit deeper and I had came upon another speaker who said it this way. Out of doing the best you could possibly do with your food, your diet, and doing the best exercises, you know, making sure you're either going to the gym or hitting yoga, you know, a frequency that is best for you 3 to 5 times a week, or getting good sleep, which one is more valuable than the other two? And I asked this in a group just last night, and one of the gentlemen raised his hand. He said, sleep. And he's absolutely right. When you get good sleep, you lose weight. You know, you sometimes hear that, but you actually do. When you get poor sleep, you gain weight big time. When you get poor sleep, you don't recover, you don't regenerate, you don't come back refreshed the next day. Part of the whole cycle of sickness is the fact that we are not getting sleep. And until you do, you cannot possibly reach optimal wellness. So that's a big, big equation there. Poor sleep, poor health. Better sleep, better health. All right. So that was the biggest factor. And then other factors that are big, big time to consider. How in the world did we get here? How do, you know, what were the factors that created the damage to our lives? Like I said, diet is a very, very big problem. Most of the time, we are just way too acidic. And I have a list over here of why, when we are acidic, what happens? Why being in an acid state is a most unhealthy state. That in a minute. Oh, here's another one. Another reason why we stay stuck is because we replay, we relive the trauma. We explain it and we put it great detail. Oh, the car rolled over 3 times and I got hit in the side or this or that, and we don't let it go. So these mental stressors create a replay and continuously feed your nervous system to be on guard, tight, not breathing. Now, most of us, we positional stress is the next targeted problem that we have to deal with. What does this have to do with my health? It has everything to do with your health because, real basically, I made a statement years and years ago. Movement is life and life is movement. And the lack of movement creates a lack of life. It is that simple. Now, let's take this down to a microscopic level. Because when we are in grade school, maybe high school, you are working on cell division. You know, you're looking at things. So under a microscope, you're looking at, well, plant tissue. Some plant tissue does move, but you're looking at cellular wall, cellular activity, the movement of things. So you started to do live cellular examination, and you noticed that when things move, it meant life, and when things did not move, it was either death or some stage of stagnation. Positional stress is almost maintaining a position of stagnation, a position of death. So, minimal movements, maintaining a seated position throughout the day. If you're driving a truck or you're at a desk and you're exposed to the screen of the computers, these are all high stresses that really keep us from healing, fully reaching our optimal level of health. So where else are we at here? The ineffective rehab from injuries, that's another big problem. I hear this all the time, or people go back to exercising too soon, or the rehab that they got at the hospital or associated medical center was minimum at best. You're not being brought back up to the previous injury or better beyond the capacity you once had, because we do work that way and can work that way. So our rehab, really, it's deplorable. Okay, now we have another environmental toxins. Environmental toxins, that's a huge, huge topic. We've covered it many times before. I've talked about the Wi-Fi system, the 5G apocalypse. Look that up, Apocalypse 5G or 5G Apocalypse. It's about an hour-long documentary about how the Wi-Fi and the various cell phone towers are really affecting our lives. Now, this is science, I think, that is still being uncovered. So, do we for sure know? I don't know. Some people can argue. But I will say this. It ain't natural. And that's enough right there. Stress-inducing and energy-depleting habits. In other words, worry. Non-movement plus worry creates super tension tightness. Just not deep breathing at all is creating a low activity, low brain function, cloudy existence. So those are the physiological and physiology. The physiology is what your body goes through. The physiological is what your mind goes through. Those are the effects that we have. When we're in pain, when we're injured, we just don't breathe in deep. And that's part of the equation. More breathing, less pain. All right. Now I want to also introduce the fact that we have been miseducated, or back to that dead education, in a severe way, in such a way that if I tried to say it, people would be like, hey, I don't believe you, or, you know, you're talking out of the side of your mouth. But this is a video, and I've actually, several years back, got the cancer, cure for cancer videos from Ty Bollinger, and he is now on another quest, and he's actually traveling in the Asian countries, and I believe he now is stopped in Japan at this time. Well, at any rate, he is going through a deep explanation as to why our medical system, why our current belief system of health is where it is today. So let's drop in and check that out.
Have you ever wondered why the worldwide approach to treating cancer is to use chemicals like chemotherapy, which can actually harm the immune response? Have you ever wondered why doctors will adamantly tell you not to eat antioxidant-rich foods that improve immune response? It all goes back to the fact that doctors across the globe are not educated about nutrition while in medical school.
They gave us a whole hour on nutritionals. A whole hour. In 4 years of medical school. Mm-hmm. And they told us there's vitamin A and B1 and B2 and C and D, and they're in alphabetical order, and you can look them up. And then they told us some really basic facts. We got a whole hour.
First of all, how much training did you receive on nutrition when you were in medical school? Because I know here in the States, it's almost none.
Yeah, not much.
Not much?
Even in Argentina? Close to, yeah, very little.
Close to none?
Very little.
Because in medical school, they don't teach you anything about nutrition.
We got hours and hours and hours on how to use basically patent medicines, which, as you know, are what usually goes on the prescription pad as a molecule that can be patented, which means it's not found in nature, because you can't patent it if it's not found in nature, if it's found in nature, and that's what we get educated in.
They don't get paid to educate people, they get paid to write prescriptions, and you know, you can imagine the drug lobby made sure that's the case.
The doctor is brainwashed when he gets out of medical school, because the medical school has too much subsidization of the professors who are being paid by the drug company. So the professor never teaches any student in medical school, why don't you try vitamin C? They're going to tell him the latest drug.
And that's by design, specifically. You know, there, about over a century ago, there's foundations, the Carnegie and the Rockefeller foundations, who sort of engineered the curriculum through their grants and donations.
Are you wondering what Dr. Mercola meant when he mentioned that the Carnegie's and Rockefeller Foundation engineered medical school curriculum over a century ago? He was referring to the Flexner Report of 1910, which we addressed in A Global Quest. Now you can see why history is so important. Because, as the old saying goes, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it.
So, I don't need to go any further. You can understand when the money is coming from a source which has a vested interest in the outcome, Now, what's going to happen is the outcome is going to be what the donor wants it to be, generally. So this is the problem. And that goes back even further in time to the turn of the last century, when the Rockefeller Group and the Carnegie Group actually came together, and they decided that they would reform medical education in America.
At the time of the late 1800s, early 1900s, 20th century, medical schools taught a lot of different things. There were homeopathic medical schools, there were naturopathic schools, there were eclectic herbal type medicine schools, and so it was all there. There was not one way. And what happened was that the Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundations were interested in establishing the one way. How would they do that? Well, they would get a hold of the education system and create a medical monopoly via basically eliminating all competition to patent petrochemical medical education. That's the Flexner Report of 1910, it became known. Abraham and Simon Flexner, you know, were hired to do this. It was a preordained commissioned report.
Not surprisingly, the basis of the report was that it was far too easy to start a medical school and that most schools were not teaching sound medicine. Let me translate this for you. These natural health colleges were not pushing enough chemical drugs manufactured by who? Carnegie and Rockefeller. The AMA, who were evaluating the various medical colleges, made it their job to target and shut down the larger respected homeopathic colleges. Carnegie and Rockefeller began to immediately shower hundreds of millions of dollars on these medical schools that were teaching drug-intensive medicine.
Oh, by the way, when they donated the money, the donors would say, well, now, we've given you a lot of money, and we know you're going to do the right thing with it, but would you object if we had someone from our staff appointed to your board of directors, just to make sure that just to see how our money is being spent, you know? Well, that was really a condition of getting the money, so you know the university said, well, that would be fine. Anybody that you would suggest would be, I'm sure, more than adequate. So they began to load up the boards of directors of these teaching centers with people who literally were on the payroll of the donors. So once that was in place, the curriculum of the universities, the teaching centers, swung completely in the direction of pharmaceutical drugs, and it has remained that way ever since.
Predictably, those schools that had the financing churned out the better doctors. Oh, wait a minute. Or should I say, the more recognized doctors. In return for the financing, the schools were required to continue teaching course material that was exclusively drug-oriented, with no emphasis on natural medicine. By 1925, over 10,000 herbalists were out of business. By 1940, over 1,500 chiropractors would be prosecuted for practicing quackery. The 22 homeopathic medical schools that flourished in the 1900s dwindled down to just two. By 1923. By 1950, all the schools teaching homeopathy were closed. In the end, if a physician did not graduate from a Flexner-approved medical school and receive an MD degree, then he or she could not find a job anywhere. This is why today MDs are so heavily biased towards synthetic drug therapy and know little about nutrition, if anything.
Now this whole medical field has been skewed in the direction of pharmaceutical drugs, which can be patented and produce great profits for the producers. And then the next step is that means that anything coming from nature is excluded. Mm-hmm. And that's where we think, some of us think, that most of the promise lies in these very complex substances found in herbs and plants and trees and things like that, seeds. Some of us feel that it was probably meant to be that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you come out of all of this analysis and all of this history with the realization that the medical profession is really like a lapdog of the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. And most of the doctors have no idea that that's the case. They don't understand this history.
As a result of the Flexner Report, the future of medical research would be looking for newer and better drugs to treat illness. Chemotherapy, which we will examine later in this episode, became a new treatment for cancer in the 1940s with the use of nitrogen mustards and other drugs. One of the problems with chemo, aside from...
Whew. There's a couple problems with it. Actually, the success rate is, I believe, 2.1% or 3%. So that's a tough one to deal with and a tough one to sell, but it's been sold for so long. Does that give you a inside understanding of how we can be sold on an idea of chemotherapy and its success rate? It's pretty well known that the success rate's pretty darn poor. And yet that is the standard gold treatment, the go-to for our medical system. What has to happen in order for our education to totally let common sense go out the window, the later common sense, who needs you, and take on this self-destructive, quote, ideology that, well, if my body is sick, it needs more chemicals that are going to kill me even if I was healthy in order to create health. I mean, that right there just does not make sense. But it goes deeper than that. I call it gangster medicine. They gangsterized your educational system. You don't know. You don't have the opportunity to even go to a school that, you know, a big school now that teaches herbology. They just married the medical system, the metapharmaceutical system. The medical and the pharmaceutical system are just hugely entwined into our educational system, into our whole life. That is the huge parasite, in my opinion, that is keeping us from becoming healthy. Well, let me explain it in a different matter before the end of this first part, so I can give you some what to's, how to's, and how to become optimally healthy. This past year, I had a sinus infection so bad that I had to get antibiotics. I got antibiotics, and I think maybe some. It was, what's the other thing? Doesn't matter. Supposed to lower inflammation. Went through the antibiotic course, and believe it or not, a month and a half, 2 months later, I got a low back spasm that just wouldn't quit, but that's a separate issue. What I'm pointing out is, at the level of health that I've maintained throughout the years, the last time I've had to use a pharmaceutical or rely on the pharmaceutical industry was well over 10 years ago. And I spent less than $150 at the urgency care, had the visit, you know, and they got the prescription, went across the street to Drug Free, Drug Mart, whatever, and got the drugs. All that was done for less than $150. So in the past 10 years, the pharmaceutical industry got less than $150 from me. Why is that? Because I was simply living and leading a healthy lifestyle, a wellness program which did not have the pharmaceutical industry in my pocket, in my body, in my head, or in my soul. The pharmaceutical industry is that, and medical industry, is that pervasive in our lives that we were trained to better go see a doctor. Oh, you got catching the cold? It's every response is go get that checked, as opposed to check in with yourself. That's the huge difference. When you check in with yourself, you want to listen to your body. When you listen to your body, well, before you even do that, real quickly before the hour, half hour goes down, it requires patience to learn to listen to our bodies and to allow them to teach us what they need for genuine healing. I'll come back to this later on here at Talktainment Radio because it's a very, very important topic we need to say here at TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there. More up on Wiggins World of Wellness and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah. Anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Look out for Sex Code War.
Stand by for an important announcement.
Mortgage interest rates are the lowest in history. Did you hear that? Mortgage interest rates are the lowest in history. You can buy a home from Lenco Realty for less than rent. For details, call 614-375-2BUY. That's 614-375-2289 or log on to repohomelist.com. That's repohomelist.com and claim your American dream.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com to your app, or I'm sorry, to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. And this is Stacey Wiggins on Wiggins World of Wellness. Yes, indeed. It's a world of wellness. All brought down to the perspective from Wiggins's world. So, we just finished up that last half hour, the gangsterismo, gangster medicine. How we are just totally educated, miseducation, or I call it deducation, because it's not a type or form of life-altering, life-enhancing education. It's all about, well, you're going to get old. This is what happens. Don't worry about it. You know, living half your lifespan, living just half your lifespan, dying at age 60 and 70. By the way, lifespan around 120. So I was doing this poem right before we went off to break, but I got to I was just thinking about it during break. It's like, you know, I dropped a big bomb. I dropped a huge bomb that really no one heard the explosion. I said in the past 10 years, I've spent about $150 on pharmaceutical medications. Okay? Crickets, yes. So many, many friends were, you know, talking to me about, oh, I've got a $400 a month copay or this or, you know, drugs and diabetes medications and different medications. It's like, it just made my head spin how much we are financially invested in a system that has miseducated us, dead-educated us, and maintained our symptoms, if not get worse. They are not healing us. They're just managing the symptoms. Whew, it blows my mind. So, if, in fact, there were 100 of wellness Wiggins warriors who didn't need to spend nothing but maybe $200 in a 10-year period, how would the pharmaceutical industry feel about that? Not too good, I bet, for sure. So we are being disconnected, misguided, outer-directed instead of inner-directed. Back to the inner direction, the listening to your body, the understanding of the wisdom within, the temple that you have, and what you can do to go about generating health. Huge amount of energy, and just thrive in a culture that is bent like hell on killing itself. And that is how we evolve. So you're either going to evolve or devolve. And evolving has to be maintaining your health, taking your health with you. You can't go into the future, whatever that future is, sick as we are. The future is pretty bleam and gleam. It's ugly. So back to what I was talking about. Where was this? Listening to your body. Brought this poem out. Don't even know who it's by, but the words are wise. It requires patience to learn to listen to our bodies and to allow them to teach us what they need for genuine healing. None of that fake shit. If we are all allowed ourselves the benefits of practices such as exercise, meditation, and visualization. Huh? Visualization? Yes. Seeing yourself being better. Seeing yourself whole. Seeing yourself healthy. We need the patience to wait for the effects to become visible. If we want to appreciate the beauty of our world, we have to acquire the patience needed to stop and truly listen. Listening to your body. Then we must have... If we allow ourselves these gifts, we will freely help others to acquire the same. So what is this message I'm trying to say? The require patience. Many people find this in meditation, that they quiet their mind, they quiet their body, they bring their outer vision inwardly. They start to focus on their breath. They start to have, whatever the practice may be, either mantras, statements, or just visualizations of the end goals that they want. It's been known that if you can feel it, and you can visualize it, and you can all the senses to it, taste it, have it into your hands almost to touch, that you're that much closer to gaining that which you desire. But if you're just hoping, and you just want it because you don't want to be in the position you're in now, you're just hoping for something better, you will not achieve or acquire that. It comes from much more grit, desire, and work than that is. So people are looking for, they're looking for a solution. Can you make it simple, Stacy? Oh, yes, super simple. Can you make it straightforward and easy to follow? Oh, absolutely. Are you worth it? Are you worth the time? Because it's certainly effective. All you need to do is to do it. People want a solution, you know, that they have just a small commitment to. It's like, oh, God, you know, you talk about a detox product, and the first thing comes out of most people's mouths is, I'm not going to be in the bathroom all day, am I? When have you ever been? Well, maybe a few. But no, not the situation at all. We immediately put something in front of us that we put as a roadblock to, we block our blessings, in short. It's like, I can't do it. I ain't got the time. It's a Tuesday, and Tuesdays don't work for me. Whatever the excuse is, we are blocking our own blessings. And so we need a method that's going to be realistic and achievable. And guess what? Everyone can get a big stability ball. It's realistic. Costs less than $20. You can put it in a spot in your home or your house or your office, and it really doesn't take up much room. A stability ball, a big medicine ball. And you get it by the height that you are. So if you're like 5 foot to 5 foot five, you get a 55 centimeter. And if you're a little taller, you get a little bit bigger. This will send an immediate message to your body to start loosening up, to have fun. So people want a solution that's also cost effective and has extra value to it. It's certainly cost effective. So you need to go out and get the exercise equipment that you're going to use, and you're going to use it daily in some cases. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to expense the cost of a gym membership. You don't have to carve out the time to get ready, take a shower, put your clothes on, drive to the gym, do your little gym thing, and then drive back home and get back to your day or from the office or whichever. And speaking of which, doing the little gym thing, working on the big ball creates more neuromuscular diversity. What do I mean? When you go to the gym and you do an arm curl, you pretty much are using the same muscles at the same time. You might change the weight a little bit, might change the speed of reps, but you're doing the same boring task. When you work with a big ball, you create more movement, further engaging your body, and not just repetitive work. So as you become more flexible, you become more stretching, more dynamic, more doable, or you can up the number of engaged squats or whatever it is. So the fix is real easy. It's whether or not you want to put the time in for the fix, whether or not you feel that you're worth it. Because clearly, when you decide to put your momentum into it, doors will open up. Not just doors, garage doors, barn doors will open up, allowing you to pursue your own health, because you're pursuing a natural state. Your body is always designed to be healthy, happy. But currently, our culture, nah, not headed that way. So what else do we have? Cost effective, extra value. Okay, this is a good one because we don't develop new habits. And, well, we can keep our old ones, but we don't develop new habits. So in your life, you're going to start to see, ooh, I got this habit, whether it's I'm carrying a purse on my shoulder or holding a briefcase. I need to change that up, switch that up so my body becomes more malleable, more adaptable. So you're not creating pain positional habits, big time. All right. I promised you a little bit earlier about the impact of being acid or alkaline. And some people have still very little idea of what it means to be alkaline. And I say, in short, alkaline is you're fine, and acid, you're in trouble. Alkalinity is the measurement of your body's pH. And you can take it either through a saliva test or your urine test, and you can read where you currently are at. The more acidic you are, the more health challenges that you really start to acquire. Now, this is a list that was compiled, oh my goodness, well over 20 years ago, and it's an acid symptom checklist, and it comes from the book Alkalize or Die from Dr. Theodore A. Baradi, Jr. And it was pulled out of what page? Don't know what the page is, but here we go. To help determine your current level of acidity, these are listed as beginning, intermediate, and advanced symptoms. So the beginning symptoms of being too acid, being out of balance. And like I said, I've known about this and read this chart for many, many years and worked towards maintaining alkalinity. So I can pretty much have a relationship, a knowing understanding of what we're about to read in this list. So the beginning list of acid symptoms, having too much acid in your body, is acne, agitation, muscular pain, cold hands or feet, dizziness, low energy, joint pains that travel, food allergies, chemical sensitivities to odors, gas, heat, hyperactivity, panic attacks. I've had one where I got on a plane and everything was kind of tight. Premenstrual cramping. Don't have that. Lack of sex drive, bloating, heartburn, diarrhea, constipation, hot urine, strong smelling urine, mild headaches, rapid panting breath, rapid heartbeat, irregular heartbeat, white coated tongue, excessive head mucus or stuffiness, and the metallic taste in your mouth. Those are all just beginning symptoms of being too acid. Now, let's go to the intermediate symptoms, the symptoms in the middle. Cold sores, herpes 1 and 2, depression, loss of memory, loss of concentration, migraine headaches, insomnia, lack of sleep, disturbance in smell, taste, vision, hearing, asthma, bronchitis. So the bronchitis is in bronchial tubes, too much mucus, asthma in a different part of your respiratory system, too much mucus, hay fever, earaches, hives, swelling, viral infections such as cold and flus, bacterial infections, staph and strep, fungal infections, candida albicans, athlete's foot. 17 is impotence, cystitis, urinary infection, gastritis, colitis, excessive falling hair, psoriasis, endometriosis, stuttering, numbness and tingling, sinusitis. which is stuffiness in the sinuses. And then last, if I didn't cover them all, let's go for the advanced symptoms of an acidic checklist. Crohn's disease, schizophrenia, learning disabled, Hodgkin's disease, systemic lupus, multiple sclerosis, sarcoidosis, rheumatoid arthritis, myasthenia gravis, I haven't said that in a while, scleroderma, leukemia, tuberculosis, and all other forms of cancer. All other forms of cancer. Huh, very interesting. So I knew with my own health and my own experience and sharing this with my own client list that the level of alkalinity greatly equates to your oxygen levels, to your health level, to your vitality. And so the more oxygen you have, the more energy you have, yada, yada, yada. Okay. I knew this for quite a while. But let me tell you how I was destroying my health while trying to achieve my health. It's a slippery slope sometimes. You think you're doing something good for yourself, and you find out in the long run, and you were actually harming yourself. Okay, so I knew the importance of having a high pH, or raising my own internal pH up as high as possible. And I relied upon coral calcium. Way back in the day, there were calcium, magnesium, sachets. You put them in the water. It helps raise the pH. You drink it. Later on, I bought a electronic pH machine. It raises the pH of the water electrically. And so you run the water through this machine. You turn it on. You set your Kegan water. They have a similar machine. I just bought a much cheaper one. And so it raises the pH of your water. You drink the water. You raise your own pH. Voila, you're feeling good. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, here was and is the problem. By electrically raising the pH of the water, you were not enhancing the minerals that were in the water, if there were any, and you were actually flushing out some other minerals that your body was dearly trying to hold on to. Now, I do not have a laboratory. I am the laboratory, but my experience does speak from observation and before and after results. So, I maintained my pH for many, many years, led a healthy life. That was one of my secrets to being pain-free. To not have pain in your body means simply that you have a high level of oxygen and a low level of tension throughout your body. Thus, woo-hoo, everything feels good. You can do things and life is great. As the pH starts to go down, you become more acidic. You get a little stiff. Old injuries come back. Life ain't so great. However, using this water-enhanced lifestyle of keeping a high pH, I was sacrificing my minerals. But wait a minute, I kind of knew about it. I was putting minerals in, but not the good minerals. These minerals are far from the minerals that I'm currently taking now. And there lies that gap of where I was trying to help myself but harming myself. I am now mineralizing my body. And while proper minerals mean everything, it also means a higher pH. So I'm bringing my body into a balance where, as before, I was artificially manipulating my balance and creating, I had nails that were more rigid. I had, small little symptoms of less than perfect health, and those are just oozing away. My sleep has increased. All the markers that, one looks for being healthy have just taken leaps and bounds of improvement, as well as the clients that I've shared this with. Next time when we have another podcast, I'll have some guests call in and give you their feedback, because many people received within the hour, within a 24-hour, and some people took maybe 2-3 days, they received benefits, they received results. They were starting to feel the effects of proper mineralization. And what might those effects be? Well, let me end this with something that's very, very profound. Minerals don't cost much, and good minerals cost a decent amount. The pharmaceutical industry cannot make money on something that is natural. It just doesn't happen. So their focus is to keep your focus off of you finding your ultimate health. That's my opinion. When you find your ultimate health, you have very, very little need for the pharmaceutical industry. That's a fact. So, here we go. Dr. Linus Pauling, not the Linus dude that was playing on the piano in Snoopy's time, but Linus Pauling, he's the cat that won, what? Not one, but two Nobel Peace Prizes. So he's way smarter than me, probably way smarter than a bunch of us put together. But anyway, this dude said something that was super profound, and we do not heed his words. He said, in short, that all diseases stem from a mineral deficiency. Now, I'm kind of taking it out of context, but it boils down to all diseases. I think he may have said even most all diseases or all diseases. It doesn't matter. It covers a lot of ground. Oops. It covers the ground to where we can begin to bring healing into our lives because we are using the most foundational, the most missing element in our lives, proper minerals. Now, what do I mean by missing elements? I may have said this before, but you need to hear this again. Back in 1936, Congress stood up tall and read a proclamation. They said, American soils, American people are 99% deficient. That's the American population, 1936. And thereby the soils are also 98% deficient. And this was a proclamation way back in 1936, okay? So put your time machine on. Go back to 1936. 1935, 1934 probably wasn't much better as far as mineral capacity in the soils. So advance, what is that, 84 some odd years from then to now, 85, 80, what, doesn't matter the math, over 80 years, and we have further depleted our soils and added more toxins on top of it. So now we are trying to extract our very life, our very energetic beings. Whether you're a vegetarian, you eat meat, or you're eating fish, doesn't matter. You're trying to extract the energy from something that is greatly deficient and greatly toxic. Thus, our sick care industry is booming. Once you bring those toxins down and those nutrients up, the sick care industry will whittle and die, just like the parasite it is. Good Lord, yes. So here's what you got to do. You got to go to jumpinthemud.com. These are videos that will help explain the minerals I'm talking about. www.jumpinthemud.com, as well as the other website will be www.mudmovement.com. Explore these websites. You will understand why the soil that is 40 feet down up in Ottawa, Canada, which is 60,000 years old, has more mineral content than we could possibly ever imagine in today's world. And this mineral content, it is beyond organic. You know, organic is just trying to tell you something that isn't poisoned. It's been buried 40 feet down and just fully becoming accessible, breaking down by carbon molecule to molecule, becoming fully accessible to go into our bloodstream, into our cells, past the blood-brain barrier, and deliver nutrients, deliver minerals. And just as important, if not even more important, it takes in 60 times its weight in nutrition and pulls out 60 times its weight in toxins. What kind of toxins? Heavy metals. How about GMOs? Wow. How about just usual body, what is it when your cellular respiration, your metabolic toxins? You need a place to get them out, because if you do not pull out the toxins and they add up, you create a sinful place to live in. You create a disease state, a discomfort state, a painful state to live in. So as your body becomes more clear, as you become more pH enhanced, whoo, disease has no place in your home. Life is fully emanating through you and from you and out to the world. Yeah, so going about being that light that you are, Marianne Williamson was talking about, I need to repeat that one more time. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Our power comes from our knowledge. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, and talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You got to shine. You got to figure it out. Pull it out from yourself, because ain't nobody else going to do it. It's going to be you. You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. Just hand them some sunglasses if you're too bright. We are born to make and manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. We have the power. We are the power. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do so. Go ahead and do it. Don't hold back. Let it good. Let it feel good. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And this liberation comes from a mind and a physical jail that we have put ourselves in. We have allowed ourselves in and been manipulated into. We have been a slave for many systems. And to come out of these slavery systems, it requires you to be aware of who you are, to have a deeper understanding of your connection to the Almighty, to the nature world, the natural world, and your disconnection from that which is killing us at a pretty fast rate. Last year, I think the latest figure is 300,000 people die from prescription medications that were either a decibel point off or this or that. 300,000 people die a year. You want to dodge that bullet. You want to be able to pass up on that offering, because life has way more for you than dancing with some deadly toxins that are, quote, trying to heal you. So, solutions, they're easy. There are the waking up, the becoming aware. And next time we're going to talk about one big solution, the breathing component. Because in breathing, that's where I talked about earlier, you can raise your pH. You can actually become way more controlled in your thinking, as opposed to driving down the road and someone cuts in front of you and you tighten up and you got road rage. You know, people have that all the time, and I see it all the time. And it's just a response that you can now mitigate. You can now change it to, wow, that person must be in a rush. Or, wow, that person's probably not breathing too well. Or, thank God I'm alive to see this and to save my life and the person or the other, as opposed to being enraged with them. It's just a different perspective of how you negotiate stress. Because that's a big part of maintaining wellness, is negotiating stress. Not taking it on, not keeping it, not making it manifest into the next level of discomfort, which would be later on dis-ease. So, solutions. We talked about breathing. We're going to talk about that way more. When you breathe in more, you bring in more life. As you continue to breathe more, you're going to bring in more water, because heavy breathing dehydrates your body. Those are the two most important things in life, are breathing and water. The third thing is getting good sleep. How are you going to get good sleep? That's the next podcast, because there are so many things that we need to realize to preserve our wellness. So I want to thank you for coming out and hanging out with me on this journey of why we are so sick and how we got here and what we can do about it, because we can clearly do plenty about it here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, the way it should be heard.
the world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.